doing life better. Say that with me, doing life better. I told you that this series was birthed out of a ride-along I had with one of the police officers in Warren as their chaplain. And at the end of the shift, after meeting so many different people and dealing with so many different life issues and so many things, the officer at the end of the shift said to me, "You know, Chaplain, I've come to the conclusion that people just don't know how to do life very well." And that's what stirred in my heart and gave birth to this series, Doing Life Better, because life is complicated, life is confusing, life is challenging. And I believe that salvation is really God's plan on how to do life better. The Bible, the Word of God, is God's manual on how to do life better. And that's what it's really all about. And so each week we've been sharing with you a passage of Scripture, and each with a title with the word better in it to help us to do life better. This morning our Scripture focus is Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Just one verse. Notice this with me. But now, say now. How many know God has something for us now? How many need something now? What happened last week was great. What's going to happen tomorrow is wonderful. But how about something now? And look at this. But now have we obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator. Speaking of Jesus as the lawyer, the one who negotiates the contract and the one who negotiates the plan of a better covenant. Say better covenant. Better covenant. Which was established upon better promises. Say better promises. Now I'm going to take my title this morning right from this passage and right from this verse, and I'm going to talk to you this morning as we prepare for communion to have a better covenant based upon better promises. How many know now, today, God has provided for you and I a better covenant that has better promises? And that's how we can do life better, a better covenant with better promises. Promises, promises, promises. How many know we live in a world of promises? Husbands and wives stand at an altar and make promises. Parents and children make promises to get each other to do what we hope we want them to do. Politicians make promises on the campaign trail. Businesses make promises that if you use their product, that how many know you're going to live longer and you're going to do better and you're going to sleep better and you're going to lose weight? Come on, how many know television commercial ads are just a bunch of promises for $19.95? And if you call today, promises, promises, promises. We live in a world of promises. But this morning, I want you to know that there is a better covenant with better promises. I want you to know that God's promises are better, and God's promises are true. And it's not a coincidence. How many know the worship team and Danae, they didn't know what I was speaking about this morning and how God indeed encouraged us, even in our worship this morning, to trust in the faithfulness of his promises. This morning, we have a better covenant with better promises. Say that with me. A better covenant with better promises. Now, I want to show you a passage of Scripture, and I want you to follow with me as we go to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see something very interesting, because as I was studying this verse and as I was thinking about it, I wanted to talk to you this morning about those better promises. And Romans 5, 1 to 5 says this. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have." Now, that word justified is very interesting. It's a legal term. It's a legal word. Now, how many know a covenant is a legal contract? How many know God's plan of salvation for your life and my life is not just a religious concept? It's a spiritual covenant. It's a spiritual contract that God makes with you and I. Matter of fact, a covenant in Old Testament times and in biblical days, a covenant was an agreement, a legally binding contract between two people, and it was usually sealed or cut through blood. It was established on blood. And I love the fact that what he says in the book of Hebrews, he says that God has given us a better covenant. God has made a legally binding agreement and contract between you and I. And notice it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. It was written and it was signed and it was sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that contract that God has made with us, how many know that contract affords to us better promises? And notice this, that when we are justified by faith, when we accept Jesus Christ and we sign our name on the bottom line next to the name of Jesus and say, I'm entering into a contract with you. I'm entering into a salvation with you. I'm entering into a relationship with God. When we sign on the bottom line and we accept God's contract, how many know along with that contract comes benefits, comes promises. Let's put it in today's terms, perks. Rewards. Come on, how many like perks? Rewards. You go to Kroger, you get your rewards card out. Come on, the first thing, I got a whole wallet full of rewards cards, right? You get perks. You go to CVS and you want your extra cash bucks. And you do your plane miles, right? You put it on your credit card because you want the cash back or you want the perks for your plane miles. You see, what happens is we need to see that salvation is not just a religious concept. Salvation is a spiritual contract between God and us. And when we come in agreement, Jesus has already signed on the bottom line of the contract. And when we accept that contract and we sign and come in covenant and relationship with God, along with that contract and covenant comes promises. And the word justified means, it's a legal term. We've often heard the expression, just as if I never sinned. Well, what the contract is saying, or the covenant is saying, is that when I accept Jesus Christ's blood and his sacrifice, it's just as if I never sinned. I'm now clean. I'm now whole. I now have a relationship with God. And because of that, I get to enjoy benefits and promises. And notice this, because we've been justified, because there's been a legal contract has been cut and established between God and us, we have, say we have. We have. How many understand there are some things that we need to know that we have? What good is a benefit or a perk if you don't know you have it? And this morning I want you to know that we have better promises because of a better promise. Covenant. Now, there are three better promises I want to share with you today. And these three better promises, I want you to understand, these three better promises are the foundation of the better covenant. And these three better promises are the key that unlocks all of the promises of God. And so I want to show you three of them today. So let's look at this passage in Romans and let's see what we have. What do we have because we've been justified by faith? What better promises do we have because we have a better covenant with God? Notice the first one is that we have the better promise of peace with God. Say peace. Because you and I enter into a covenant relationship with God and we come in agreement with God through salvation, we have the promise, the benefit, the reward, the perk of having peace with God. We no longer have to worry and wonder if we are in right relationship with God. We don't have to struggle in our sins anymore. We have an advocate and a lawyer that can forgive us and cleanse us and give us peace and right relationship with God. How many know that's a benefit? How many know that's a promise that we can hold to, that we have peace with God? Let me show you a couple of scriptures to prove this and some evidence. And having made peace, say peace, through the blood of his cross. Remember, covenant is through blood. We have peace through his blood on the cross. By him, he has reconciled, or he has bridged the gap and brought us into right relationship. We have peace with God. That's a perk. That's a reward. That's a benefit. That's a promise that we have when we enter into covenant with God. Let's look at these couple of slides here on Galatians. I want to show you something interesting. Is the law opposed to the promises of God? Paul answers his own rhetorical question. He says, absolutely not. If the law could impart life, then righteousness would come by the law. But the promise came through Jesus Christ. In other words, if you and I could have peace with God, if you and I could forgive our own sins, if you and I could come in right relationship with God by doing our own thing or following a set of rules and regulations and laws, how many know God would have established it that way? But he didn't. He said, there's a better way. There's a better way than you trying to do it on your own. There's a better way than you trying to be good enough on your own. There's a better way than you trying to forgive your own sin and stop doing the things in your life that you need to. He says there's a better way to righteousness. There's a better way to peace with God. There's a better way through right relationship. He says that promise of a better way and peace with God and right relationship comes through Jesus Christ. Because of a better covenant, we have that better promise. We were held in custody under the law. Now he's talking about those in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. But under the New Covenant, it's better. He says in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament, they were held in custody under the law, locked up with the law as their guardian. Notice that. Take note of that. Now notice what he says. Now that this faith has come through Jesus Christ, there's a better way. He says, you no longer have to have a guardian to watch over you. So in Jesus Christ, we are the children of God through faith. Then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise of God. Let me explain it this way. Under the old covenant, how many know before Jesus died on the cross, and his blood was shed, and the covenant, the better covenant, was paid in full. How many know in the Old Testament their sins through the sacrifice of animals and their offerings and so forth were considered covered or held on credit? How many know under the New Covenant and in the New Testament, after Jesus Christ died, how many know it was paid in full? How many know our sins are no longer covered, they're completely cleansed? How many know that's a better way? That's a better promise. That's a better covenant. If we lived before Jesus died on the cross, how many know our sins would not have been immediately cleansed? They would have been covered or put on a credit card, so to speak. And then when Jesus made the final payment with his blood on the cross, the credit card was paid in full. That's why it's a better covenant with a better promise. This morning, we can have peace with God. We can have right relationship with God. We can have that through a covenant with Jesus Christ and a better promise by faith. And we can be forgiven and cleansed. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through, our sins don't have to be covered. They can be cleansed. A better covenant with better promises. The Bible says this, if we confess our sin this morning, he is faithful and just to not only forgive us our sin, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember what it said in the old, under the old covenant, they were still kind of held in custody, locked up with a guardian watching over them. But in the new covenant, we don't have to have a guardian watching it. We're not locked up. Listen, let me ask you, which is better? If we had committed a violation or a crime, which is better, that we're held in custody and have somebody watch over us until this court case, until it's settled and everything's sorted out? Or is it better that someone just pays it and we go free? Which is better? Well, that's what he's saying. Under the old covenant, your sins are only covered and you had to be held in custody, so to speak. But listen, he says, but now that Christ has come and we accept it by faith, it's paid in full and we can go free today. Because of a better covenant and better promises. The second promise of a better covenant is the better promise of access to God. Say peace with God. That's a promise. That's a perk of the new covenant. How many know the second one is access to God? Say access. How many know access means that we have legal right and authority? Notice what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, there's that legal term, we have not only peace with God through Jesus Christ, but by who we also have access into his grace wherein we stand. Listen, because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary, because of the better covenant, when we come into relationship with God, we get the promise of peace with him, and we also get the promise of access to him anytime we want and every time we want. Look at what the Bible says. Let me show you proof and evidence. Having therefore boldness, to enter into the holy place. Remember the tabernacle, there was the outer court, the holy place, and then the holiest of holies where the altar and the throne and the presence of God was, which is a picture to us of our entering into God's presence. He says, we have access because of the blood of Jesus to not have to wait in the outer court, not go into the second area, but we can go into the holiest. We can go right into the very throne room of God, into the very presence of God. Because of a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. Notice that we can go into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast of our faith, for he is faithful who promised. A promise that we have, a perk, a benefit of the new covenant is not only that we have peace with God and right relationship, but that we have access to God and to his throne room anytime and every time we want. Notice what Hebrews 4 also tells us. He says, since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmity and was in all points tempted as we are, let us come boldly into his throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. This morning, the promise that you have, the perk that you have, the benefit you have because of a better covenant is that you this morning, if we messed up, if we've screwed up, and we all have, if we have messed up in any way, how many know we can go right to God? If we have a problem today, if we have something that's weighing us down, if we have an issue that we're dealing with in life or in our finances or in our health, how many know we can go right to God? We have the promise that we have a better covenant with better access. We can go right to God this morning and find mercy and grace today and now. That's a better promise because of a better covenant. You can go boldly into the throne room of grace and find help in time. Let me ask you, which is better? If you wanted to have a meeting with an executive of a company that would be able to solve your claim or your situation, which is better? You have to make an appointment 2 weeks ahead of time, pass through security and the doorman, have to stop at the receptionist, have to go to the secretary and fill out paperwork, maybe wait in a waiting room for a while and finally get to see the top guy? Or would you rather be the kid or the blood relative who just goes past everybody and marches right in and says, Dad, I'm here? Which is better? How many can see that's a better promise? A better promise of access. You don't have to come to Pastor Farina. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to another person. I mean, no, you can go right to God directly. And listen, you can go anytime you want and all the time you want. But Lord, I was just here yesterday. Come back again today. He's ready. But I messed up again. Then keep coming back. But Lord, I've got another problem today. You help me with this. Then you just keep coming because that's a better promise of a better covenant that we have peace with God. And we have access to God. Let me show you the third promise that's the key that unlocks the promises of God. The better promise of the Holy Spirit. Not only because of the blood covenant and relationship we can have with God through Jesus Christ by faith, do we have peace with God. That is, we can have right relationship with God. Not only can we have access to God anytime we want, but how many know we are given the promise of the Holy Spirit to be with us and to help us all the time? A better covenant has a better promise, and that better promise is that we get the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit was a promise that Jesus made for us? A better promise because, look at what it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, we have access into his grace, wherein we say, and not only so, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. How many know when Jesus was going to go away in John 14, what did he say? He said, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. I've got a promise for you. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he is going to stand alongside you, and he's going to be in you, and he's going to help you. That's the better promise. Notice Luke 24, 49. Behold, I said, the promise of my Father unto you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from the Holy Spirit on high. Being assembled together in Acts 1, verse 4, Jesus commanded them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. Because of a relationship we have have with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if we accept his legal contract and we come into relationship with God, we have peace with God. No matter what we've done, we can have forgiveness and cleansing of our sin. We have access to God. We can go to God anytime for any problem, for any situation, all of the time. And not only that, we have the Holy Spirit who will not only... He will stand alongside us and he will be in us and he will help us. How many know under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit would only come upon people at select times, at specific moments? But how many know under the new covenant, which is better and has better promise, we got the Holy Spirit with us all the time, alongside us and in us all the time. Let me ask you, which is better? If you were working on a specific project or you were dealing with some juggling different things in your life, and I said to you, I'll come and help you once in a while whenever I can come free. I'll come over once in a while and I'll give you an hour here, an hour there, maybe a day here, a day there, and I'll try to do the best. Or would you rather someone who says, I'm gonna come and stand alongside you, I'm never gonna leave you, I'm gonna be there all the time and I'm gonna help you no matter what? Which is better? Well, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there, here, and there, and select times, but in the new covenant, he says, I'm going to stand right alongside you. I'm going to be inside you, and I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. That's a better promise because of a better covenant. So what are the three promises? Come on. What are the three better promises of the better covenant? Say it with me. Peace with God. Say access to God and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how many know those are the three promises? Those are the three basic promises. But I want you to notice something important. And I want to mention this one last verse. You trusted in Christ after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the deposit guaranteeing the inheritance of the possession of full redemption. How many know when the Holy Spirit, when we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, that's just the deposit. Oh, come on. Of the full inheritance that we're going to receive in Christ one day. How many know when you put a deposit down, you bought a car on a loan or something, on a contract, you put a deposit down. How many know that doesn't mean it's paid off? But he said, but when we get the Holy Spirit, that's the down payment, guaranteeing that God will keep making installments. God will keep making installments. God will keep making promises. God will keep giving us promises, keep making us until we've received all that we need in Christ. What a better covenant. What a better promise. Because of peace with God, because of access to God, and because of the Holy Spirit of God, we can unlock all of the promises of God. I want to make this important statement. You see, this morning, if you have peace with God, if you come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I don't want my sins covered. I don't want them just held in custody. I don't want to hold on to the guilt, but I want them completely cleansed and forgiven. I want right relationship with him. If you will do that today, and if you will realize that you have the promise of access to God and realize that because of that peace with God, I can go to God anytime I want, whether it's midnight, it's 3 a.m, whether it's on Sunday or Tuesday, it doesn't matter, for whatever problem. If you know you can go to God anytime, and you know that you have the Holy Spirit in you and alongside you to help you with everything, how many know you then have the authority, the opportunity, and the possibility to unlock all of the promises of God? Because of those three promises, all of the promises are available to us. Because we have peace with God, access to God, and because we have the Holy Spirit of God. How many know these three are just the beginning, and how many know there's many more promises of God? Matter of fact, what does Peter say? According to his divine power, he has given to us all things that we need for life. Is there something you need to do life better this morning? God's power has provided it. All things that we need for life. And then to do it right. I don't want to just do life. I want to do it right. And he says, we can do that whereby we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. The promises of God is what helps us do life better. And those promises come through peace with God, access to God, and by receiving the Holy Spirit of God, by entering into a new covenant, a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you living with a promise? Do you have a promise of God that's alive in your mind and in your heart today that you have grabbed hold of and you're holding on to? If you don't, you need to get a hold of one today. You need to latch on to one of the, either these three promises or all of the many promises. Matter of fact, biblical scholars estimate that there are 8,109 promises in the Bible. 8,109 promises. Now, certainly there's got to be one that you need to do life a little better. Come on, if there's 8,109 promises, estimate. How many know every one of us ought to grab hold of one of those promises and say, God, because of the blood of Jesus, because I've come into a covenant relationship with you, because I've signed under the name of Jesus, which was written in blood, because I signed my name and I come into a spiritual contract and covenant and agreement with you, because of that, I want to tap into the promises that you have for me. I want to grab hold of those promises. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of promises that God wants us to tap into today. Maybe God's given you a promise. Maybe you're living with a promise. Maybe you had a promise and then it's faded because the time has gone on and things didn't work out. I want to say to you, you hold on to that promise. And if you don't have one, you need to grab hold of a promise today. Let me give you a few. I'm not going to read all 8,109. The truth is, I don't know all 8,109 of them. But I know a few of them. Here's a couple that you can hold on. I will never leave you or forsake you. How many know that's a promise? Because of a better covenant through Jesus Christ's blood, that's a promise you can grab hold of today. If you feel like you're all alone, you feel like you're just doing life all by yourself, and you're lonely, and you think you don't have any help, and there's no one, listen, I want you to grab hold of that promise that God said, I will never leave you or forsake. Maybe other people have left you or forsake you, but you grab hold of the promise that God will never leave you. Never forsake. Let me give you another promise you can hold on to. He said, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. I don't know about you, but if you need strength today, if you need picked up, if you need someone to hold on to you and make you feel like you're safe and secure, you grab hold of God's promise today. Listen to this promise. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing is God going to keep that. If you need something good today, if you need God to do something good in your life, then you need to say, God, your promise says, because of the blood of Jesus, that no good thing, I grab hold of that promise today. Listen to this. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And any tongue or name that rises up against you shall fall and fail. Today, if you're under attack or you're being criticized or persecuted or you feel like you're under attack and you feel like everything is against, listen, no weapon formed against you can prosper. God will protect you. God will take care of you. That's a promise today you can grab hold of because of a better covenant. How about this promise? I have blotted out your transgressions and I remember them no more. How many know we get up the next day and say, I think I still feel guilty for what I did. And God says, for what? I don't remember it. Why do you keep beating yourself up with it? I don't remember it. I've blotted it out. I've cleansed it. I've taken care. Stop living in the shame and the guilt and start moving forward into righteousness. That's a promise that he's blotted out our transgressions. How about this promise? I am the Lord that healeth thee. You need a touch in your physical body. Maybe you need an emotional healing. Maybe you need a financial healing. Maybe you need a relationship healing. I am the God that heals. That's a promise you can grab hold of today. How about this one? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you know, I don't really have the strength. I really don't think I can do this. I really don't. You know what? You need to grab hold of that promise. I can do all things. How about this one? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches. How many know that's a promise you can grab hold of today? How about this one? Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How about this one, Romans 8, that all things work together for good to them. Not that all things are good, but God can work all those things out for good. How about this one, Jeremiah 29, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a promise you can grab hold of today. How about this one, bless the Lord, the psalmist said, all my soul and all that is within me, and forget not all his benefits, all his promises, all his perks, all his rewards. He forgives all of our sins. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He satisfies our life with all good things. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Those are promises that we have to hold on to. And the psalmist said, forget not his promises. Don't forget or give up on his benefits and his blessings and his promises. And how we know the greatest promise of all is 1 John 2, and this is the promise that he has promised, even eternal life through Jesus Christ. And listen to what 1 Kings 8:56 says. Blessed be the Lord that gives rest to his people according to all that he has promised. And there has not failed one word of all of his good promises which he has promised. Listen, not one word of his promises have failed. I think it's time we start living with a promise. I think it's time we grab hold of one of God's promises. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of God's plan of salvation, because of this spiritual contract. See, God doesn't want you to just accept Jesus and say, I'm going to heaven. He wants you to come into a spiritual contract, a covenant, a relationship with him. Jesus has already signed with his blood that he's paid for that contract. And when we sign our name and we come in agreement with God, along with that comes peace with God, access to God, and the Holy Spirit of God, which are the keys that unlock these and all of the 8,000 promises that God has for us. So here's the bottom line question. Have we signed God's better covenant with better promises? Have you put your name on the bottom line of the contract? How many know we ever, if you buy a car, you buy a house, you come into any kind of agreement with anything, how many know you got to go through all those pages, and then you get to the bottom line? And how many know it's not official and it's not binding until it's signed? And today there's some of us, we know all about the covenant, we know all about the promises, and we've never signed on the bottom line. And we've never come to, and there are others of us who have signed on the bottom line and didn't read the benefit page, didn't read the promise page, didn't read about the perks, didn't read about the rewards. Because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have access to God, and we have the Holy Spirit of God that can unlock all of the promises of God. I want you to bow your head with me and bow your heart with me a moment. I want the team to come into place. I want our men to position themselves and our leadership for communion.